You're going to edit this all, though, right, V?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're doing the podcast. You're editing the audio. Is that how it works? Is that how the technology works?
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you very much. Or, thanks for being a freeloader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking to you video people.
Yeah. All you people who watch on Friday
watch
for free.
Friday. Yeah. Well, that's the way we're going to do this, is that like the people who subscribe to the podcast and they get it early on Mondays, we're going to praise them about
how amazing they are,
about how great they are, how attractive, frankly, they are.
Mm-hmm. How smart they are.
How smart they are. Mm-hmm. And all the people who are watching for free, I mean, thanks for watching.
We appreciate you watching, but you should subscribe.
But you should subscribe.
It's a great deal.
It is.
Lots of games on Texan Live this week that you can be watching.
It is. Mm-hmm. Matthew, this is your week one preview edition of Tep and Step.
Does that mean we're doing a game draft?
We made it.
Yes. LFG. Let's go.
By the way, Vianna Moreno's at the controls making it sound good.
Yes.
Thank you, Vianna. Thank you for your courage. Hi, V. Okay.
The amazing Vianna Moreno.
It is week one of the Texas high school football season. We've made it through the long off season. It was a struggle. It was toiling. But at least we had realignment.
It was a realignment year. Makes it better.
It does.
Yes.
But that is all behind us now. Because now...
get real live. Football men playing football. And football ladies. There could be some...
there are some
football girls, yeah.
But I will tell you this. You and I... we're recording this on Monday, August 26th. In 4 days. 4 days from like right now. Or 3 days.
Yeah,
3 days. We'll be on a little mandate.
We will. We'll be on the road. We'll reveal that at the end of the show.
Oh, now that is a lot. Well,
am I a pro or what?
You are a pro.
Come on.
Is your week one preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, the week one game draft. That's right.
Been waiting all
it's back
off season.
I built my board. Got the whole board up and stuff like that.
Just going to throw darts. I've got like a board over there. I'm just going to fire darts.
But we will start, Matthew.
Cleveland versus Spindora. Let's go.
We'll start, Matthew, as we always do, with your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week, presented...
a sponsor?
By Community Coffee. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
Drink
Thank
community
you, Community
Coffee.
Coffee.
How do you take your coffee?
That seems like a personal question.
Okay, all right. I was wondering if you took your coffee like Riley Dodge, pumpkin spice.
No, nobody takes their coffee like Riley Dodge. I take my coffee black.
Okay.
Yes, right. I take my coffee.
I don't drink coffee, but I may start now that Community Coffee is sponsoring this podcast. Now, Mrs. Step basically has milk and sugar with her coffee.
Okay.
She's one of those. Yeah, she's one of those kind of ladies.
Matt Step, your Texas High School Bowl fun fact of the week. It got me thinking about when we were doing our 5A preview earlier, which subscribers heard.
Craziness in the 5A preview.
Yeah, 5A preview.
Absolute insanity.
We talked about how Aledo has won, it's like 119 consecutive district games. Matt Step, who has the longest active district losing streak entering the 2024 season? Give you a hint, they've lost 69 consecutive district games.
Nice.
Not very nice.
That's not nice. Let's go forward, Diamond Hill Jarvis.
It's a good guess.
Dang it.
It's not true. Actually, Diamond Hill Jarvis must have won a district game like their last game they won because they're not on this list. The answer, El Paso Socorro. El Paso Socorro has not won a district game since 2012. 69.
I would like to dispute
losses.
That.
Oh, yeah?
That Texas, is this the first ever? I just want to double check. Is this the first
you're
ever?
Scarborough?
No.
Scarborough won a district game last year.
I want to say Socorro won one in 2020, but forfeit.
Oh, well, now we're getting...
I mean, come on.
Okay.
I'm double checking. Let me just double check
now,
the record.
Oh, it's
a COVID forfeit.
More like tech and step, because technical.
Let's see, 2020.
Technicality and step.
Yes. They defeated El Paso Franklin and El Paso Americas in 2020. 1-0. I actually think it was 14-0.
I disagree.
Hey,
there it is, your Texas official, high school football fun fact.
I would like to file a protest.
It's the week one. Like, you can't let me have one.
I'm filing a protest right now.
Delicious community coffee.
No, you can have all the community coffee you want.
Fun fact of the week.
But I'm filing a protest.
All right. Anyway, that's your Texas high school football fun fact of the week.
That's the first ever protest I've ever filed.
Let's recap.
We're off to a great start.
I love how this is the first video podcast, mm-hmm. and people are like, this is what people pay for? Yes, and they mm-hmm. love it. Mm-hmm. All right, Matthew. Let's recap last week's action. All right, Matthew.
A lot of scrimmages.
Good recap.
Who won state? I saw a lot of scrimmage state championship rings being awarded on Twitter. And I was like, guys, it's a scrimmage.
We always hear people, they're just like, man, dominate our scrimmage. And like, look, you would rather look good in your scrimmage than look bad in your scrimmage.
But let's take it with...
Tap the brakes.
Yeah.
Everything that happens this week, even though there are like no district games,
mm-hmm.
everything that happens this week... 100 times more important and more telling.
And it's still not that important, but
it's still week one.
It does count on the record. At least we're keeping score for real.
And that is, it's worth mentioning, this one thing we're going to talk about throughout the course of this program today is like the week one always feels like we're going to be here next week sorting out like the junk mm-hmm. data from the real data. Because it's always like... It's always basically who's ready. Who's the most ready for week one?
Week one always has a bunch of surprises, teams. There's upsets. There's always weird results. And you can react to it because you've got some data now, but it's like the only data set that we have, so we really overreact to it. So if your team doesn't play good in week one, it's not the end of the world. You know, don't freak out just yet. Be concerned.
Yeah.
But don't freak out. Things can change. We've seen lots of teams not look good in week one and turn out to be just fine.
To be okay.
So it's a dance we have to play because it is a data set and we're excited about it, but we just careful not to overreact because week one always has some quirky results.
It is fun, though, because we have 721 Texas High School.
722 now. There was a game added today. Did you see that?
No.
Yes. El Paso Cathedral is now playing Rock Springs Friday night in Junction. So 722 games. Who do you got in that one? Cathedral or Rock Springs?
Give me Cathedral. The Fighting Irish, by the way.
Give me the Angoras.
Okay.
Rock Springs.
All right. There you go. That's a good mascot matchup.
Yes.
Good mascot matchup.
You know what an Angora is, right? It's a
goat.
It's a goat.
It's a goat.
An Angora is a goat VNA. Yes.
But it is time now for the week one Tep and Step game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step... Welcome. Mm-hmm. Really and truly, here's how it works. Step and I are going to go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. That's the phrase that pays. Mm-hmm. Most interested in it. It can be for whatever reason. If you want to talk me into Cleveland versus Splendora, go for it.
Sure.
You absolutely can.
Sure.
But for whatever reason, we go 5 rounds back and forth. And then at the end of it, we will bring back America's most treasured mm-hmm. segment. Mm-hmm.
Hudson Standish's favorite segment.
The hipster game of the week.
Yes.
That's right, where we pick a game that's a little bit off the board, a game that you're not paying attention to, but you should be for, mm-hmm. again, whatever reason.
Yeah, there's all kinds of bits that we do in hipster games. So
Step and I did a coin toss before the show. Step won the coin toss.
It's like 5 years in a row I've won the first week one toss.
He gets to pick 1-1
okay.
of week one of season 8. Did we figure this out? 7? 6?
We did, but I forgot.
Me too. Matt Stepp.
Not that important.
The inaugural pick of the 2024 Tep and Step game draft. It's a good slate, I'll tell you this. It's a really nice slate of week one games.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
7 o'clock Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Live on TexanLive.com.
How about that? That's cross-promotional.
The Columbus Cardinals mm-hmm. visit the Cuero Gobblers. 3A versus 4A. Great small school matchup. And I don't want to say Columbus is the talk of the state, but Columbus is getting a lot of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that buzz is because of the players they have returning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a TCU commit at Adam Schobel at quarterback. You've got a TCU commit on defense and John Schobel. Man, it's weird, those Schobels. They love TCU.
Weird.
Man.
So weird.
And you know, Carter ate at Schobel's. He said it was very good.
Did he?
He did.
First Carter story Yates. Coming out this week on TexasFootball.com. Yes. Yeah.
That's a tease right there. Mm-hmm. But they've got other guys. They've got a defensive end whose name escapes me because I'm a terrible sports writer who's just got a Sam Houston offer. They've got Braylon Fisher, one of the top sophomore wide receivers in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And they have this other guy that just transferred in that's kind of getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
Considered one of the best six-man players of all time, Grayson Rigdon, is now there as well.
Anthony Shorter is a defensive
end. Anthony Shorter. Thank you. Thank you. Tight end, defensive end. Just picked up an offer from Sam Houston, so a very good player. But Grayson Rigdon, I'm fascinated by this game because of Grayson Rigdon. Mm-hmm. This is his first ever 11-man football game. Six-man state championship MVP.
Four-time in three games, yeah.
Okay. He's won both sides of the ball once. Considered one of the best six-man players of all time, is now playing his first 11-man game. I am fascinated to see how this thing goes. And maybe week one it doesn't go well, but he's adjusting. I get it. You got to give him a little grace. If Grayson Rigdon doesn't have like four touchdowns, let's not. Oh, six man sucks. He's not a great. Like,
let
it take some time.
Let him cook a little bit.
Let him marinate. It's gonna take some time, but I think I'm gonna be fascinated to watch.
And it's also worth mentioning that like if he doesn't have five touchdowns in the first game, Cuero might be a reason too.
Cuero's generally very good. Uh-huh. You know, we're talking about a 4A team that did not make our top 10, and it was a surprise for a lot of people. They're a perennial top 10 team in the state. I would say, even though they're not top 10, they're probably in that next tier of teams that, you know, could be ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always tough, and they're at home. So you have to think that Cuero, and they're a bigger school. You know, it's a 3A D1 playing a 4A D2. I think this is going to be a really interesting game. But I'm most fascinated because of Grace. I just want to see, number one, what position does Columbus use Grayson Rigdon at? Do they put him at running back? Do they put him at receiver? Is he returning kicks? Is he playing defense? And how Columbus uses him on offense? Because they've got weapons. And Schobel operating that offense is a four-year starter, coach's kid, NFL bloodlines, D1 commit. You know he's going to have complete command of that attack. So really interested to that. And Cuero, very young team, a lot of new faces.
They're going to be good up front. I'll tell you that. They're going to be very good up front.
And defense. Mm-hmm. They break seven starters back on defense. So you know Cuero is going to have good team speed. They're going to be physical. They're at home. But I think in week one, I'm leaning to Columbus, the smaller school, to get the win here. But I'm really fascinated by this game. This is one I'll be tuned into in the press box Friday night on my tablet.
Computer's got this as a one-point game. So it's very, same thing. It should be. It's going to be fascinating. And I think a really nice litmus test for both teams in that for Cuero, who's number 12 in our rankings to start the 12. Year.
I knew they were like 11 and 12. And then
it's an opportunity for them to be like, oh, no, we're for real. Like, we're going to go, and this would be a real feather in their cap if they can win it. Columbus, if you punch up a classification
on the road
against the top 12 team in 482, that's heady stuff.
Yes.
And they can really seal themselves as being in that upper crust of 381.
Columbus non-district slate is crazy.
It's brutal.
Belleville, LaGrange, Madisonville. It's a gauntlet.
All right.
But yeah, Columbus Cuero. I'm fascinated by this game, Tepper.
Good pick. Matt Stepp, it's week one, and so it's hard to get a playoff vibe in week one of the Texas high school football season. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I contend to you that I'm getting real playoff vibes from my first pick. Matt Stepp, 7:30 p.m. Thursday night.
Thursday. So, video people, when you watch this video, you're already going to know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a Thursday night game.
At Panther Stadium in Hewitt.
It's actually Friday night.
That's Friday night?
Yeah,
it's Friday night. Friday night, never mind. I read it wrong. Well,
it was originally scheduled for Thursday, and
they moved it
to Friday, yeah.
Friday night. As the Belleville Braemas take on the Salina Bobcats in a cross-divisional 4A clash that, again, it feels like a playoff game. Like these
neutral
are two
site game.
Elite teams playing on a neutral site.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a great game. Let's talk about Belleville for a moment. Belleville's fascinating. Coming off of last year's loss in the state championship game, if you look at the numbers, you'd say, boy, they got hit hard by graduation. Because they did. I think they bring back like four starters back on each side of the ball or something like that. But in a really strange like turn of events. What they bring back is like all of their star power.
Yes, their key players are back. And they lost the worker bees.
Yeah, they lost the worker bees. They lost the nuts and bolts. But they bring back D.D. Murray, their running back, who is spectacular.
He's picking up some D1 offers. He's got a Utah State offer already. He's
a dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a dog. And they bring back Himothy.
Yes.
DJ Sanders. Mm-hmm. The monstrous defensive lineman there at Belleville. He's a freak show.
He is.
If you've ever never watched this, he's an A&M commit now?
He's committed to A&M.
He is a freak show. And it's not that he's huge. He is. It's that he's huge and fast.
Yes. And incredible. He plays angry, which is weird because he's like the sweet, like off the field, he's like the nicest kid.
Like a very soft-spoken guy, apparently.
Yeah, but then when he puts his helmet on and puts his Belleville jersey on, he like just turns into like this monster who like we just don't want to be in front of in football.
But the star power there at Belleville's like overwhelming. Can they fill in the gaps in the worker bees?
Mm-hmm.
Salina's got legit state championship aspirations, and the reason why is kind of old school Salina.
Yeah, this is a very much a throwback, G.A. Moore type Salina team.
Because what they're going to do, they're going to be good in the trenches, and they're going to run the damn ball.
They've got Logan Gutierrez. Yep. They've got
Harrison Williams. Yeah,
really, really good backs.
They are deep, and they are physical, and they're going to kind of mash you. And it's very different from some of the Salina teams we've seen recently, but it's very like throwback for Salina. I'm absolutely fascinated to see if they can run at DJ Sanders.
It's going to be a really interesting matchup
soon. I'm absolutely fascinated to see this Salina defense, which did get hit by graduation, how well they can slow down the running game for Belleville.
Slot T is the devil.
Slot T. On a neutral site, on opening Friday night, I think this game rocks. Mm-hmm. I lean to Belleville, actually, a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I lean to Belleville. I'm really into... I think they've got the juice. And I think especially with the star power they've got coming back in an early season matchup, I think that can shine through. So I'm going to go with Belleville and Salina as my first pick.
Okay.
What is your second pick, Matthew? I'm
going to go down to the Houston area.
Nice weekend. Nice weekend.
It is Friday night at Turner Stadium in Humble, live on TexanLive.com.
Company man.
As Alvin Shadow Creek takes on Humble Summer Creek, whose creek is going to rise?
Boo.
These two hooked up in the regional semifinals last year, or 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they played in the playoffs, and that was kind of Summer Creek's coming out party.
Mm-hmm.
They knocked off Shadow Creek, gave Katie a much better game than people thought in the regional final and 2 years ago. Last year, that momentum keeps up. They get all the way to the state championship game. Summer Creek's established themselves as a real power in the Houston area.
Mm-hmm.
But Shadow Creek's been there before, too. This is a Shadow Creek program that has talent, but has, in 6A, I think, underachieved a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
They played below their paper.
I think, because remember, in 5A, their first 2 years, state finalist and state champion. They move up to 6A, and I think the conversation was like, well, watch out. Like, here's the new power.
And I think third round is as far as they've gone. Yeah, they've had some playoff disappointments. And
by the way, not to interrupt, at the D2 level, which should be more manageable. If they were running into North Shore, it's like, okay, that's one thing.
North Shore's kind of had everybody's number.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a fascinating matchup because I think even though Shadow Creek went through a coaching change, Tyrone Green, offensive coordinator, is now the head coach, replacing Brad Butler, who retired at young age.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's work this out. If you can retire at the age of Brad Butler, I don't know how old he is. He looks like he's like our age.
Yeah, he looks like he's early 40s,
Like he looks like he's our age. And then he like up and retired. I'm like, boy, good gig if you can get it.
Tyrone, I asked Coach Green what Coach Butler is going to be doing this football season. He said probably spending a lot of time on the beach. So
that rocks. Fair. Good for you, Brad Butler. Fair. We're rooting for you.
Fair. Shadow Creek offensively and at the skill positions is as good as anyone in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two Baylor commits, Ja'Cory Watson and Ashton Jones. You got a Texas commit and Chris Stewart out there. And the other, the great thing for Shadow Creek this year is Ja'Cory Watson doesn't have to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. He gets to move back to his natural position because JoJo Stewart, a Fort Bend Hightower quarterback, has transferred over to Shadow Creek, and he brings experience. He's a 4-year starter and playoff experience to Shadow Creek. Defensively, Shadow Creek's pretty strong. Linebacker Anthony Williams committed to TCU. Kobe Sellers at corner committed to A&M. Loaded. Mm-hmm. Summer Creek lost some guys to graduation. Mm-hmm. You know, they lose Lloyd Avant. They lose the linebacker who went to LSU. They do have Chad Woodfork, a TCU commit, who's really good.
He's awesome.
And I think Blake Thomas, Summer Creek's quarterback, as the year went on, and that playoff win over Hightower, Blake Thomas, late in the game, mm-hmm. showed poise beyond his years. He really grew up in that game and led Summer Creek in that comeback. Very, very good player. Where I'm going to see Shadow Creek this week is physicality. Mm-hmm. We know Shadow Creek at the skill positions can get it done. Are they physical enough? At the point of attack, can they develop a running game, and can they be physical? That's where Summer Creek, I think, has a huge edge. Summer Creek may not have as much skill talent as Shadow Creek, but they're going to punch you in the mm-hmm. face, they're going to be physical, and they're going to play good up front. That's where I think Summer Creek, especially week one, may have an edge over Shadow Creek.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and it's real, because the issue for Shadow Creek has been they've always had these dudes, and they've always been pretty good, but not great in the trenches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even when they went to the title games, that was kind of the book on. Like in that title game against Highland Park, Highland Park kind of beat them up front.
Yes.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They've always had dudes. Like, remember, who's that tiny quarterback?
Jamarian George. That dude, the 99-yard touchdown run against Highland Park.
That was awesome. State championship. They've always had dudes, but like they haven't been able to match up front. And that's kind of, I think, what has kept them, kind of kept the lid on them at the 6-man or 6A level. Mm-hmm. If they can prove that they can match up with a certified, like a team that prides themselves on just like beating you up in the trenches, if they can do that, I think that bodes well for them moving forward. That's a perfect example of like, even if they don't win the game, if they just match up well with them, I think that would go a long way. But it's a fascinating game, and it's also just, it'll be interesting to see where Summer Creek is in their
sure.
kind of.
They've got a lot of, mm-hmm. they've got to replace a lot of key guys. So this is really, I think the marquee matchup in the Houston area this week, yeah. two Houston area teams, and it'll be one of our marquee games on Texas football tonight, Friday night.
I would like to stay in the Houston area.
Okay.
7 o'clock, Friday night, at Galena Park ISD Stadium in Galena Park, Texas, as the number 3 ranked Galena Park North Shore Mustangs in 6A take on the number 2 ranked South Oak Cliff Golden Bears.
It's a long road trip.
Getting on a bus. Mm-hmm.
They're leaving at 9 in the morning on Friday. 9 a.m.
Driving all damn day to go to Galena Park in a matchup of brand name programs that have really only been brand names for like the last 10 years or so. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Like, sure.
That's what's interesting. Mm-hmm. South Oak Cliff, obviously, early, you know, much more recently than
yeah, North Shore kind of had some runs there. And mm-hmm. David Amond, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were always kind of thought of as an underachiever under David Amond, mm-hmm. though. And then when John Kay came, 2015, 2014, mm-hmm. they kind of started
2015, when they won with the Micaiah Long at quarterback, mm-hmm. they put a linebacker quarterback and won a title.
Well, what a cool trick, yeah.
That was a cool trick. All right. So it's brand name. I probably don't need to sell you on this too hard. But let me dive into kind of the questions that I have.
Sure.
One of them is about South Oak Cliff, and specifically, who's going to score? Like,
yeah,
they're going to be good in the offensive line. I was reading, going back through the questionnaire that Jason Todd sent in, and he was talking about, like, legit, he's like, this might be the best offensive line we've ever had.
They're really good up front.
They're going to be excellent up front. Mm-hmm. Could be very good on defense, not a surprise. Mm-hmm. Very good on defense, especially the front seven. Yes. Jaden Shelton, he's a dog at the linebacker spot.
And then the Morgan kid moved in from mm-hmm. Red Oak. Baylor commit.
They're
up front. Their front seven, their defense.
I have no problem. I have no worries. But in a weird turn of events, they're just like from a class perspective, they're just in between classes on skill guys.
A lot of questions.
They don't have a quarterback. They think they do in Carter Kopecky. A running back, we don't know. Damond Williams is probably going to get the run with the ones. Mm-hmm. receivers wise, like Jalen Moore is probably their best guy, who was like, I think their third receiver last year.
Yeah.
Like, they just have a lot of questions at the skill position spot. Somebody's got to score for them. And now I will say this about South Oak Cliff. We had some questions like this last year. And really, actually, more acutely, we had questions like this in 2022.
We've had questions about, since Kevin Henry Jennings graduated, we've all kind of, South Oak Cliff has morphed from being a dynamic offensive team to a defense running game team. Mm-hmm. Very physical, run the ball team, and not very flashy, but just brutally efficient.
I just remember doing this podcast with you during that 2022 playoff run, and we were just like, they just got to give the ball to Danny Green the whole time. You know what I mean? It's just like, keep running the ball. And it was just so different from what we had seen with Wildman running out there and all these playmakers mm-hmm. they've got. They were loaded. They were an FBS factory. Now they are offensive line and defense and how everything else fills out around them. For North Shore, much more of a finished product in week one. I would say much
yes,
more.
Yes, they bring a ton back.
They bring back, I think, 17 starters from last year's ball club.
They're loaded. And I've talked to some people down in Houston who feel like this is, they think this could be the best North Shore team they've ever had. Like, I've talked, like, now, 2018 is going to be a high bar. 2018 is going to be a high bar to roll. But I've talked to people are very excited about North Shore this year. And they, for good reason, they're loaded.
I mean, how many 6A teams, how many 6A teams can say that they have a guy like Caleb Bailey, a four-year starter mm-hmm. at quarterback? And by the way, not a four-year starter like, oh, you went 1-9 the first year. Like, the man has played in two state championship games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Played two state championship games in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the other one, he lost in the semifinals, right?
Well, he got hurt. No,
he got hurt, yeah.
They got hurt. And they've been to three straight state championships.
Oh, that's right.
They lost to Westlake when Demetrius Davis is senior.
21, 22, 23. You're right. Yeah, exactly.
So Bailey is a freshman. They won a state championship. Mm-hmm. Sophomore, he got hurt,
and they were running with Touchdown Dave.
Who they almost mm-hmm. beat Duncanville with Touchdown mm-hmm. Dave. And then last year, Duncanville put it on him.
So they've got Caleb Bailey,
mm-hmm.
DeAnta Blanc, DeAndre Hardiman.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, the best corner in America, Devin Sanchez.
They have a linebacker who's committed to LSU who basically runs, like, a 10-2, Charles Ross.
Yeah. I mean, they're freaky.
And they're better up front. Last year, North Shore wasn't great up front, and they all come back. They're all back, so mm-hmm. I think they're going to be a lot better up front.
But the question for them, and one thing
by the way, also had Quanell Farrakhan, mm-hmm. who's committed to Colorado, move mm-hmm. in from the Woodlands.
Here's the thing, though. They have not always started super hot, North Shore. They've mm-hmm. had some stumbles out of the gate.
They lost to Katy that mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. Week one. They've
had some stumbles out mm-hmm. of the gate. How quickly do they start? There's also kind of an elephant in the room here, which is that Galena Park North Shore has an enrollment that is three times the size yes. of South Oak Cliff.
Yep. North Shore's got 4,500 and Sox got 1,500.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Big difference.
I think on the top end talent perspective, especially at certain positions, I think South Oak Cliff actually is one of the few teams that from a talent perspective mm-hmm. can probably match up. But I think the depth wears on them. I think the depth is an issue.
Yeah.
And then also, can they find anybody to score this early? That's the question. I'm a lot more interested. I think North Shore's your favorite. I'm a lot more interested to see what South Oak Cliff looks like and mm-hmm. who is their go-to guy. Who are their go-to guys?
Yeah. South Oak Cliff's going to want to – their game plan is going to be run the ball, play it close to the vest, keep it close, try to win it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
If North Shore runs out early, gets out to a 14-0 lead, could be in trouble. Another thing I'm interested in, Caleb Bailey. He played last year but was not ever 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Got his knee cleaned up this offseason. All indications are that he is as healthy as he's been since he was a freshman, mm-hmm. since before the injury as a sophomore. So interested to see. I want to see how much North Shore runs him. Because mm-hmm. if you go back and look at Bailey's sophomore tape before he got hurt,
mm-hmm.
he was a menace running the football.
Yeah. Because what they did was they took the reins off him. Because mm-hmm. freshman year, they kind of kept him in a bubble a mm-hmm. little bit. And then
they protected him a little
bit. Let the reins off him.
And he was a menace. Mm-hmm. So last year, he didn't run as much. It was a lot more, almost like they had the reins back on him a little bit. So mm-hmm. we'll see. I want to see how they kind of utilize Bailey. And maybe they don't utilize him in the running game very much because it's a non-district game, but I want to see what he looks like.
What's your third pick, Matthew?
Tepper, I love a good Beast Texas football.
You do love a good
I was just in East Texas last week. JUCO Step made an appearance.
You were, yeah. I love JUCO Step.
Yeah. Friday night in Panola County in the woods, as a great man once said.
This game's hot.
Yep.
This game's
shout out to my boy Gabe Brooks from Carthage as the Kilgore Bulldogs visit Carthage, take on the Carthage Bulldogs.
These two teams do not like each other.
And they're both same state, same school colors, red and white. They're Bulldogs. A lot of similar. The communities are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's begrudging respect between the communities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Kilgore's tired of getting beat by Carthage. Mm-hmm. Carthage has been, it wasn't that long ago. Carthage beat Kilgore in a state championship game.
That's right. All the East Texas title game.
And they're like 20, maybe not 20 miles. They're like 40 miles apart. Mm-hmm. They're not far from each other. So I think both these teams are state.
Carthage has beaten Kilgore and Gilmer in title games.
Yes, they have. Yes.
That just dawned on me.
Yeah, they have. Weird. I'll tell you this. These are two state title contenders. In fact, in my preseason predictions, I have both these teams winning state. Kilgore in D1 and Carthage in D2.
Saucy.
Last year, this game went down to the wire. Jet Surratt, Carthage quarterback in his first start as a sophomore, had some struggles against that Kilgore defense, but Carthage found a way, pulled it out. Kilgore's defense this year is going to be elite.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told by multiple folks that this Kilgore defense is dynamic. Defensive line, ferocious. They got Jaden Sanders, the Michigan commit. I believe he's committed to Michigan, I believe. Didn't he commit to Michigan?
Sounds right.
Michigan getting some Texas kids. Got Andrew Marsh and Jaden Sanders.
As the son of a Illinois Fighting Illini, I cannot sign on to that.
Understood. And you saw Jaden Sanders up close and personal in state 7-on-7. And he's good at football, isn't he?
Yeah, all right. I'm going to give him the official Teppan Step stamp of approval, stamp of pretty good at football.
Yes, he's elite. That Kilgore defense is good. Offensively, they got a few more questions. Their young quarterback looked good in 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a sophomore running back, Rayshawn Williams, who really impressed as a freshman. I think he's going to be the lead guy this year. So excited about Kilgore.
Mm-hmm.
Carthage, when they don't win a state championship, they typically come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And they have vengeance in their mind, and they are loaded. Surratt and KJ Edwards on the offense have got a good group of receivers. Maybe they're still trying to find that guy at receiver.
Yeah,
they don't have the number one that's emerged just yet. But I think in a Scott Surratt offense, a number one will emerge. Defensively, yeah, I expect Carthage to be as good, if not better, than Kilgore. Their linebackers, Clayton Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that name, Ingram?
Mm-hmm.
There's an Ingram.
Carthage, yeah.
DeQuivis Beck, linebackers, outstanding. Carthage is going to have great team speed. They're going to be physical. Carthage is a complete football team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Kilgore in week one is quite as complete as Carthage is. So that's why, at home, I lean to Carthage in this one.
Real bold.
But I think Kilgore keeps it close. They almost always play Carthage close. It's going to be a physical, physical football game. But I like Carthage. I just think Carthage at this point, week one, a little more complete, especially on their offense. I think Kilgore's offense is still a work in progress, and I think eventually Scott Surratt's going to dial something up, and Carthage is going to make a play.
Let me see if I can run this down, like their game history with Kilgore, because I tend to think you're right. Yeah, 3-point win last year. They kind of kicked the dog out of them in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Beat them in 2020 by 20, but it was a 7-point game. 7-point loss, 3-point loss. It's a lot of close games between Kilgore and Carthage.
They typically play close. I think it's a one-score game.
Yeah,
I'm just leaning. I just think Carthage is a little more complete in week one. I think if they play week 11, I might take Kilgore. Week one, go Carthage is the more complete team.
The last time Carthage missed a title game in consecutive years, 2015, 2016. Think about that.
Yeah.
They have not gone 24 months without playing a title game.
Must be nice.
Yeah, seems cool. Yeah. Seems very cool. All right. My third pick, Matthew. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go to Central Texas.
Okay, Super Centex.
7:30 p.m. Friday night at Cougar Stadium in China Spring.
Okay.
China. As the China Spring Cougars, newly into 3A or 4A Division II, take on the reigning four-time state finalist, two-time state champion in that span, the Franklin Lions in a really in a game that that has to be like nobody. They couldn't find anybody, and they were the last guy at the. They're like it was last
like school people, dance, and you're like hey.
Last people at the dance. Mm-hmm. Like I guess we'll dance because I don't know why. I mean, I get why you would sign up for this, like iron sharpens iron, and sure. like certainly like Tyler Beatty and Mark Fannin, like the coaches at Chasbury and Franklin, respectively, like they want to challenge their teams. But I would just be such a wuss of a high school football coach. I'd be like, we're going to go 4-0.
Tepper's schedule. Tepper's not as your schedule as the school for the blind.
Schedule JV.
Yeah. Eagle Pass JV.
Yeah, Eagle Pass.
Everman Freshman B.
Yeah. That's going to be our big showcase.
Lake Dallas, eighth grade. Middle school team. You know,
yeah. Just, yeah. my son's elementary school team. You know, stuff like that.
Poor Hank Tepper's is getting trucked. Poor kid.
Tried by some 17-year-old. Anyway.
Jaden Jackson, like, running the slot T, and Hank's trying to figure out how to slow it down.
I'll tell you this about
what
Franklin.
A visual.
Franklin, who runs the slot T. Slot T's a devil.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the last time we saw them, the slot T was getting befuddled. The slot T was getting kind of...
Malakoff shut him down.
Kind of... Put into a stuff into a locker.
Malakoff did a great job in that state championship game, no doubt about it.
Now, this is another reminder. One of the things I love about week one is that it's a nice way to remind people that yes, they still have eligibility. Guess who's back for Franklin?
Let me guess.
Jaden Jackson.
No.
Is a senior. You may remember him from his sophomore year where he was truck sticking fools.
Yes, a large child. I wonder what he's listed as. Did we get a height and weight on him in the magazine?
That's a good question. That's a no.
I'm going to guess it's 6'2", 230.
You're listening to live coverage of me looking up what Mark Fannin listed as Jaden Jackson's.
Now, Franklin lost some good players. Devin Hidrago signed with TCU, I think. Like, and then Braden, the linebacker tight end, was I think went to Tarleton.
He went to Tarleton. They lost Braden Urey, Major Kimbrough. Yeah,
good who really players. Good
defensive stuff. But 6'2", 220.
6 foot. There's no way he's number one. He's not walking
around at 220.
He looks bigger. He looks like he's 6'2", 235.
He's a moose.
Yeah.
Poor mom's grocery bill. Like a fullback in the slot T.
Yeah.
He's a dog. And by the way, offensive line gonna be pretty good. And he's not alone in the running game.
No.
R.J. Fulton's pretty good. Bubba Jackson, his younger brother.
Look. You got a running back named Bubba. You're gonna be good.
Their offense is gonna hum. So here comes China Spring, and China Spring is in an interesting spot, kind of in their kind of history, because they're dropping down to 4A Division II. Mm-hmm. That's good. They're into a much very difficult district.
That 12 4A D2 is brutal.
And they now begin life without Cash McCollum.
A lot of questions in China Spring.
A lot of questions.
Did not make state 7-on-7 this year.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Did not make it.
Now they've got some dudes. Matthew Battles is kind of like their do-it-all star. Mm-hmm. They're going to be pretty good. I think the defense is probably going to lead the way early. They kind of strike me a little bit like we were talking with South Oak Cliff. Offensive line looks like it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, I have some faith in. You know, Tyler Beatty.
I think China Springs defense is their front seven is going to be really good.
Pretty good. I don't know who's going to score. Like, that's the thing. I don't know how they're going to operate offensively.
They lost a lot of firepower.
And for Franklin, this is a defense that brings back five starters from last year's team. They've played at a high level. I think I lean to Franklin here, even on the road. I think stopping the slot T in one, like...
Now, they've had all offseason to prepare for it. So if you want to play the slot T, it's a good... This is a very similar game to Columbus and Cuero.
Mm-hmm.
With a 3A team... Has the bigger names, mm-hmm. has more returners, and the 4A team has a lot more questions. So very similar kind of a vibe in that game.
All right.
So I lean to Franklin as well, though.
I'm going
to
take Franklin and China Spring. I think Franklin's a little bit more complete, and they've got the single individual best playmaker on the field in Jaden Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Plus a running back named Bubba. And the official stance of Tap and Step is we don't pick against running backs named Bubba.
Sure. I agree.
What's your fourth pick, Matthew?
Let's go to the DFW area. We haven't really been. We talked about South Oak Cliff a little bit. We haven't talked about Salina. Kind of.
We haven't done a game in DFW yet.
Well, I would like to interest you in a game Friday night. I don't know which stadium it's at in Frisco, but
it's Noble.
The Argyle Eagles take on the Frisco Lone Star Rangers in a juicy season opener. You got Division II state title contender Argyle. Mm-hmm. You've got Lone Star, who I think expects to be a factor in the Region II race in 5A Division I. Mm-hmm. A lot of firepower in this game. Let's start with Argyle. I think outside of Prosper...
Toyota Stadium.
Toyota Stadium, okay. On the grass. Mm-hmm. Outside of Prosper, Argyle may have the best offensive line in Texas. Yeah, they are massive.
They are road graders.
Yes. There's a couple other offensive line. Argyle's in the discussion.
P&G.
Yeah, P&G. Trinity's going to be.
Trinity's center.
Yeah.
They're in the discussion. Your point is well taken. I'm not trying to be.
And in 5A, they may have the best 5A offensive
line. Yes, yes, yes.
Unbelievable. They got a veteran quarterback now, McGuire Gasperson, who I think really grew up. You know, you remember last year Argyle, they played that season opener against Melissa and just got housed. Mm-hmm. They figured it out late in the year. Gasperson got better and better as the year went along. I think he's going to be great. He's working behind that great offensive line. Mm-hmm. They got two really good receivers. And I'm butchering his name. Blake Jones is going to be mad at me. Will Krizak. Mm-hmm. And then you got Julian Caldwell. Dynamic offensive targets. Now, the defense, some questions. Argyle typically defensive mm-hmm. line is very good, but there's a little more question. I'd say it's a lot of potential on the Argyle defense. Well, they're going to get tested this week because, you know, Jeff Rayburn and that Frisco Lone Star offense is going to be able to push you and test you. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen Davion Gross play, here's my question about Lone Star. How does Lone Star every year end up with this, like, Swiss Army knife running back receiver kind of combo hybrid? Ashton Genty. Now you got Davion Gross, who our friends at 24/7 rate him as, I think, the top running back in the class. I mean, but he can play receiver. He can line up at receiver. He can line up at running back. He can do it all in the slot. They've also got Bryson Jones. Bryson Jones had 15 touchdown catches last year. Really dynamic receiver. Defensively, Lone Star should be solid. Bring a good amount of talent back. One major, major question mark in Lone Star. Who's going to be the quarterback?
Yeah.
That's a big question mark.
They're basically a quarterback away from being in that, like, Alito, upper crust.
Yeah, like, they would be a contender. Yeah. I think if Lone Star can answer the quarterback question, they can play for a state title. They're that good everywhere else. But the quarterback, big question mark. Yeah. And I don't know. And maybe, you know, Coach Rayburn's probably being coy and hasn't really revealed it. At least he hasn't revealed it to me. I haven't talked to him in a while. But I know the last time we talked, he mentioned it was still a battle. Mm-hmm. They were still fighting. So I'm interested to see what Lone Star does at quarterback. I'm leaning to the experience of the Argyle. They got the veteran quarterback. They've got a lot of playmakers, and they're really good on the offensive line. So I'm leaning to Argyle here, but I'm really fascinated to see if Lone Star. I don't have any doubt Jeff Rayburn's going to find a quarterback and develop a quarterback.
Man, it may take some time.
Week one, will it happen? I don't know. But it needs to be quick because they're in a nine-team district, and district play starts in 2 weeks. That's the crazy thing. Lone Star is going to be playing district ball games in a very deep district in a couple of weeks.
I like Argyle in this one, in a very, very tight one. But I think this game's fascinating. And the other thing is we'll find out a lot about the defensive front for Lone Star. Because, look, like, if you're going to play in 581, you're going to have to match up with some big hog mollies.
With Alito, Highland Park, Denton Ryan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Teams that want to mash you. Mm-hmm. And so here's a good test right out of the chute and be like, all right, how good is your front seven? How much can you trust them? Agreed. So that's a good pick. All right, Matthew, let's find out where this game is. Do-do-do-do-do-do. This was a good idea to start a sentence and not know where it's going. 7 o'clock on Friday. At, is it Bulldog Stadium? We'll find out. It is Bill Anderson Stadium in Stamford, Texas. As the two-time defending 2A Division II state champion, Albany Lions begin their title defense as they take on the Stamford Bulldogs in a really fascinating big country clash where, I mean, there's a lot of questions I want answered, but the number one question I want answered is, so Albany, without Adam Hill, what exactly would you say you are? Like, because the last 2 years, they have run to state championships, and when they've needed the play, they've been like, hey, giant dude.
Yeah, who's really fast. Go make a play.
Fast, giant dude who's going to Texas Tech. Here's the ball. Go win us the game.
Mm-hmm. And he did it and a lot.
Now, that is selling short also what was an excellent defense for them the past couple of years. But they get hammered by graduation. Albany does. Albany gets hammered. They bring back 5 stars on offense and 2 on defense. 2. They are hammered by graduation.
Yeah, hit hard.
A lot of this is going to be about how well they replenish the offensive line and how much they turn to Chip Chambers, their quarterback.
Chambers is going to have to carry a lot of the load for the Lions this year.
By the way, he was not a bus driver.
He made plays.
He was a strong quarterback.
In that semifinal win over regional final against Collinsville. Adam Hill caught the pass, but he threw a beautiful wheel route for a touchdown to kind of put the game away. So they can make throws.
They will get a test right out of the chute against what I'm ready to declare is a pretty underrated Stanford team. I think this team has an opportunity to make some noise.
This is, I think I have Stanford in my state championship game into it.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
not underrated to Matt Stutt.
No, but they're, I can't call them a hipster pick because they are rated highly. The question I have with Stanford come playoff time is this is a great group they've got. A lot of 3-year starters. Wayne Hutchinson is in his second year back, second stint in Stanford. They haven't had a lot of playoff success. Yeah. They've had a couple of first-round losses.
They've kind of wilted.
Yes, and that's the question I have about Stanford. Other than on paper, they're as good as anyone in 2A Division I.
Christian Duran, their quarterback, dual-threat guy. T90 little dude, 5'7", running around there, but he's awesome. And then their linebacker core, Caston Vega and Clay Whitfield, they are excellent. This is, to me, a real opportunity to see where Albany stands in the 2A Division II race. They don't need to win this game on the road because they're punching up a division, and they've got a lot of questions to answer. If they do, though, if they go on the road and beat Stanford, I'm ready to kind of have a little bit of reconsideration on them where they stand. But for Stanford, also a team that I think wants to establish themselves as an elite upper crust program, I think they can do that. This would be a real feather in their cap. Regardless, one of these teams is going to come away with a real feather in their cap win on Friday night and going to feel really, really good about their position. And I can see either one of them winning. I'm going to give the champions advantage to Albany. And I mean, they've got Denny Faith coaching them.
They do. Dude's won a lot of football games.
He has forgotten more football than we'll ever know. Mm-hmm. I think I lean to Albany. Really? But I think it's really tight.
I'm taking Stanford in that game.
All right.
So I think Albany's got too many questions.
What is your final pick, Matthew?
Gonna go back out to East Texas. Friday night at Abe Martin Stadium in Lufkin. Yeah.
I looked at this game. I almost
a rivalry game that I know you've attended. I've not attended a Longview or Lufkin game. Can you give me a quick summary of a Longview Lufkin rivalry game?
Loud. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's not a blood feud. They don't hate each other, but like this is a game that like means a lot to them.
Yes,
and they want to. It means a lot to them. I mean that's the way I put it.
Physical too.
Physical.
They will take two tire irons and beat the hell out of each other.
It's gonna be great.
It's in Lufkin this year. Mm-hmm. Longview's got questions. They lost a really, really good senior class, namely Taylor Tatum, who is now at OU. They lost the great Willie Nelson in the secondary there. Went to Oklahoma State.
You might say he's on the road again.
Yes, I might say it. They do have Kelvin Washington. The new running back who's going to be taking the lead. They've also got a running back named Buster. Buster Mumphrey. And listen, that like we said with Franklin, you got a running back named Bubba. You got a running back named Buster. And in East Texas, I'm going to be a fan.
That's a nickname or a name you earn. That's an earned name.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, maybe his mom named him Buster. Maybe.
I hope so.
If his mom named him Buster, then shout out to Mrs. Mumphrey.
Yeah. Call Buster.
So they got a good receiver, Demarion Williams. So they got talent. Defensively, they're going to be led by their linebackers, Brendan Reese, Kaysen Brooks. But they got to rebuild the secondary. You got to replace a lot on the defensive line. And they got to figure out the quarterback situation. They have a guy that can really lead that offense? And they really haven't had that since Haynes King graduated. That's kind of been a a hole there for Longview. I mean, obviously, you don't just take, you know, you don't grow Haynes Kings on trees.
No.
Even though I'm sure the folks in Longview would love that if they can, you know,
they could go out there and
have another Haynes
King. Haynes King tree.
Yeah. So they got to figure that situation out. Lufkin is intriguing to me. They're moving south in realignment to District Region 3, more of a Houston area district. They should have been there all along. That's another story. On paper, if you look at their returning starters, you're like, man, they lose a lot. But they played a ton of young guys last year. They're really excited about this group. The defense. Lufkin's front seven is going to be elite.
Mm-hmm.
You start with Zion Williams, the anchor in the middle of the defense, LSU commit. Elijah Alexander, they get two 300-pounders right there in the middle of the defense, hard to block. Longview's offensive line is going to be good, but can they handle those two monsters on the interior defensive line? And then you've got linebacker Caden Hooper, who's going to be cleaning everything up because those two guys are just taking up all the space. There's new faces on offense, so that's the question. Lufkin always gives Longview hell.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Always play him tough. They'll play him tough in Longview too, but you can count on Lufkin giving Longview a game in Lufkin. I lean to Longview. Both teams have questions, but I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag out, absolute dogfight.
A word on Lufkin for me. They kind of almost think, I think they fall in the Atlanta category for me of a team that I want to buy in on, but I've just been burned too many times the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
They've had considerable hype. Part of that is our fault, but considerable hype the past few years.
They've underachieved. Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm a little hesitant. Now, I will say this. You go beat Longview,
yeah,
giddy up. Mm-hmm. I'm in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think they just play Longview tough. And I think going south is going to help them. They get out of that district. They've been in the district the last 2 years with Forney, Longview, mm-hmm, Tyler, Lancaster, McKinney North.
Mm-hmm.
Really brutal district. Yeah. They're going south now. I think, not saying there's bad teams in there, but I think Lufkin's going to be more battled. I think Lufkin, at minimum, finishes second in non-5A Division One this year.
Yeah,
at minimum.
I think so. Because, Emporia Memorial is probably their biggest test within district. That's a good pick, Matthew. My fifth and final pick, Matthew, was a game I knew that I could get the fifth round as a value pick.
Ooh, look at that.
7:30 p.m. Friday night at Tiger Stadium in Oglesby.
Oh, you definitely, yeah.
The number one ranked Oglesby Tigers take on the number two ranked Abbott Panthers in the best six-man non-district game of the year. This game's awesome.
You said it's in Oglesby?
It's in Oglesby.
Okay. I knew Abbott has a new stadium. I knew mm-hmm that.
Yeah, I think they're christening it next week.
Yeah.
Oglesby was going to be the number two team in the state in 1A Division II. Remember, they lost in the state championship last year. Grayson Rigdon, moving to Columbus, made us reconsider our rankings. We bumped them to number one. They are not a charity case at number one. They are excellent. They are excellent. And it starts with Kyler Fawcett, who is now probably the best player in six-man football. Now that Grayson Rigdon's gone, he's probably the best player in six-man football. He's awesome. You may remember him basically from the title game last year, where he was one of the only guys to ever go toe-to-toe, like score for score, blow for blow with Grayson Rigdon. Mm-hmm. He was awesome. Abbott is the number two team. It's the coaching debut of Kyle Crawford, taking over for his dad, Terry Crawford. And he inherits a team that is ready to contend, like ready to go the distance. Riley Sestala, Joey Pavelka, they've got dudes. This is a real litmus test for where these teams go. This is a signature win for one of these teams. If Abbott goes and beats them, then they can say, we can take anybody. Like, we're the chief challenger to Gordon in 181. If Oglesby beats Abbott, then Oglesby says, you come at the king. We deserve to be number one. Dave Campbell's was super smart. They're so smart and handsome and wonderful.
They are. Yeah, we are.
That's the real question here. Is there's a lot on the line here. It's a real measuring stick game. In six-man, per usual, I lean towards the team with the single individual best playmaker. That's Kyler Fawcett. I think Oglesby's your favorite, especially at home. But this game is awesome. It's a really, really good week of six-man football. Jayton and Westbrook's going on at the Jayton and Jaber Classic, too.
They have that. I was wondering if they had that again this year.
Yeah, Jayton's got their classic, and Jayton and Westbrook's the real headliner there. So, anyway, There it is. Your week one game draft. Step to Columbus and Cuero, Alvin Shadow Creek, Humble Summer Creek, Kilgore and Carthage, Argyle and Frisco Lone Star, and Longview and Lufkin. I took Belleville, Salina, South Oak Cliff, Galena Park, North Shore, Franklin, China Spring, Albany, Stanford, and Oglesby Abbott. That is
strong week.
Beefy draft. Strong by the week. Way, apologies to like Cibolo Steel, Liberty Hill.
Brennan and Reagan, San Antonio. Mm-hmm.
It's a really good Canateo Pebble Hills I'm into. Yeah. Very into that game.
North Crowley Lancaster, Saturday. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that probably at the end.
Weslaco Harlingen I'm into.
Dripping Springs Vandegrift. Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very week, big yeah. week. But there's only 10 drafts.
Corpus Christi Miller and Corpus Christi Vets.
Yeah, that's a
lot of great games.
Anyway.
Can't be. Good. I wish I could be in like 20 places at once.
Now it's time for the return of the hipster game of the week. That's right. This is when we select a game that is a little bit off the beaten path that we need you to be paying attention to for one reason or another. It can be for a good storyline. It can be for just down the road. It could be a bit.
Yeah.
It could be for like playoff implications down the road, stuff like that. Matt Stepp, what is your hipster game of the week?
Friday night in Abilene at Hardin-Simmons University as the Wellington Skyrockets take on the Alpine Fighting Bucks.
This is a weirdo game.
It's a weirdo game. You got a really good... Wellington's got a lot of high hopes in 2A Division 2. They've got a loaded running game. The Skyrockets are a cool mascot. Like, who doesn't like... Who wouldn't want to be a Skyrocket? Like, that's a cool mascot. But they're really good, too. Alpine, second year under head coach Andy Smith. It's our favorite town in Texas. We love Alpine. Mm-hmm. We wish we could move the office to Alpine. And they were pretty good last year. And Alpine expects to be a lot better this year in their second year under their head coach. A lot of experience back. And they're a bigger school, 3A Division 2.
Mm-hmm.
So interested to see how both these teams look. I think both teams are playoff-type teams in their respective classifications. Obviously, Wellington's probably more of a regional contender. Alpine, probably a 2-3 round max team. But interested in this cross-regional kind of weirdo neutral site matchup.
This is a weirdo neutral site
matchup. I'm into this game. I'm into it.
Mine is also in the big country. Mine is also 2A versus 3A. Matt Stepp, 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Dragon Memorial Stadium in Bangs. As the Bangs Dragons welcome in the early Longhorns in a game that's probably off your radar.
Mm-hmm.
Bangs was who was it? Yeah, Bangs was just 2-8 last year. They bring back a couple playmakers they're really excited about, including Kitty Cole at the quarterback spot.
They have a new coach too.
Early was 6-6 last year.
They have a new coach too.
I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
They went 6-6, won a playoff game last year. They bring back Rowan Price, there, who was a sophomore quarterback for them. Oh, I'm sorry.
He transferred.
Did he transfer?
He went to Palestine.
They bring back Andrew Reedy, their wide receiver, I hope.
He did. He's there, I think.
They are, but what's interesting to me about this game is you mentioned Early as a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Case, their defense coordinator, promoted from within.
Mm-hmm.
Bangs is a new coach. Colton Buzzard, the former Gregory Portland defensive backs coach, takes over at Bangs.
Coach Buzzard. His dad was the head coach at Winters for a long time. Mm-hmm. Rusty Buzzard.
Rusty Buzzard.
It's a great coach's name.
Texas right there. Forever.
Yeah, Rusty Buzzard.
From what I understand, the only matchup in the state of two first-time head coaches.
Oh, okay.
Two coaches who will be coaching their very first game as head coaches.
Someone's O's got to go.
Someone will be undefeated as a head coach coming out of this one. And that's interesting to me. Also, we probably won't talk about Bangs for the rest of the year.
An interesting kind of, that big country, kind of Brownwood area. Mm-hmm. Early is north of Brownwood. Bangs just south of Brownwood.
It's the Brown County showdown
right
exactly
here.
Exactly right.
Let's go.
So anyway, there it is, your hipster game of the week. Now, Matthew, why don't you tell the folks where you are going this week?
Yes. Thursday.
We can now reveal it after 2 weeks of teasing.
Thursday,
I tweeted it.
You and myself will be headed to Hamilton, Texas.
Yes, we are.
For
I'm so excited.
Frost versus Winters.
Let's go.
The Is this the biggest bit Texas high school football game ever? The Ice Bowl in August?
What was the game? There was a game a couple of years ago where a six-man team played an 11-man team, oh, and they played like one half.
Throckmorton and somebody. Yeah. That was a big bit.
That's a big
too.
Bit.
Yeah. That was. This is
but a, this is up. The, also in the big bits is when you do the playoff game in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Between like an El Paso team and the Panhandle team, and they meet New Mexico.
Big
That's
bit
a
energy.
Bit. But this,
this is big bit.
This
energy.
Is up there.
Yeah. And so we're going to be there. We're taking the Dave Campbell's truck into Hamilton. So if you're going to be in Hamilton, look for the Dave Campbell's truck. You can't miss it. We're pre-gaming at Storms.
Yes, we are.
We're going to Pickle would kill us if we didn't go to Storms.
Oh yeah, she would.
Clip that V&A. Pickle would kill us if we did not go to Storms.
Absolutely true.
And if you want to sponsor Tep and Step, Storms Hamburgers, we'll take you. Call us. So that's our Thursday game. I'll be testing out some new equipment Thursday too. So thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Friday night, I will be in Godly as Alvarado takes on Godly, and I'm going to be checking out Godly's incredible new stadium. Apparently, if you Google Godly Stadium, Godly's new football
stadium. The photos are shocking.
Yeah, I can't wait to take some video from that thing. It looks crazy. So, going to be, and Alvarado is going to be a really, really good 4A team. So, we're going to get eyes on Cardia Collier and the Alvarado Indians, who we think are going to be really, really good.
I think Cardia Collier rocks.
Yes, he's a dude's rock kind of guy. And then Saturday, doubleheader at 2 o'clock at the Star.
The Star.
Shout out Max Thompson for that one. As the Lancaster Tigers take on the North Crowley Panthers. And live on Texan Live.
Dang right.
And a little disclosure here. I will be on the call for that game. Yes, doing color. Me and Grev.
Oh, my gosh.
Matt Stepp, Greg Powers.
That's too much.
Too much manliness.
That is too much man.
Yeah, on the call. James Tritely is going to have to
try to wrangle us.
Yeah, he'll be the professional broadcaster. Me and Powers be doing bits. And then Saturday night, I'm going to head up to Melissa. Stop at Bucky's maybe on the way. As the Melissa Cardinals take on Little Rock Parkview. Saturday night.
When's the last time you saw an out-of-state team play?
It's been a little while. It's been a little while since.
You told me you were like, hey, do you know, because we got some our friends. It's the Wipeout Kids Cancer.
Yes, Wipeout Kids Cancer. Which the official take of Tep and Step. We'd like to wipe out kids' cancer.
Thumbs up to wiping out
kids'
cancer.
We would like to wipe out kids' cancer. I've seen some out-of-state teams play. Especially like remember when they had that Labor Day Classic at AT&T Stadium? And I went to Shreveport once and watched like Longview play like Bossier City Parkway and John Curtis. I've seen some out-of-state teams play.
Okay.
Little Rock Parkview, Melissa, Saturday night. So a nice four-pack of game. I think I'll be hanging out with Mike Roach Saturday night. I think Roach is coming, yeah.
So. Good for you. All right, and now it's time for our new segment here on Tep and Step. Now we're on video, and we have a producer's first time.
We actually have a real producer. You fired yourself.
For a segment we're going to call... What did V&A write down?
Oh, my God.
And here to tell us what she wrote down is our producer, V&A Moreno.
Just give us a couple of...
What'd you write down?
I wrote a lot of things down.
Give us, like, two highlights.
Okay, let's see. Oh, 36-30, big boy.
Big boy. That will say that. He's a big boy.
Big boy. Let's see what else. Oh, 15-44, Himothy.
Himothy.
Yes.
Yeah. I think TJ Sanders was Himothy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You got one more?
Let's see. Oh. 1629, Salina, old school Salina.
Yeah.
Wait. Slot T equals devil.
Yeah,
slot T is the devil.
See, you're learning V&A,
if there's one thing you can take from this podcast,
yes.
Slot T is the devil.
That's right. There you go.
Yes.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or cheaping out and watching it on Friday. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Step.